Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Home."
Yeah.
Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to welcome the listeners. This is the Sound Doctrine broadcast with Dr. Ventura coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California, the most southwest city in the United States of America. Amen. I want to thank Brother Nathan Hill out there in South Carolina. And we need to keep Brother Hill in prayer and all of South Carolina. They're sure suffering some flooding there. That's terrible. Brother was telling me tonight before the program that there's only one road into one bridge to get to his house. And he's out here now, and he's serving the Lord by being on our switchboard and taking calls and answering questions and working with the chat board and keeping us live. And that's dedication to the Lord. There's a man who's not afraid to take a risk for Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a lot of people in the world that are afraid to take risks. I heard a preacher preaching on that this morning about being a Christian requires us to take a risk. And he was talking about how Peter stepped out of that boat and took that risk. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, you'll never get nothing done for the Lord if you don't step out anyway. But tonight, we're back on the air. We're grateful to be back on the air. It's been two quiet weeks. We had technical trouble. We had flooding and down there in South Carolina. Our switchboard wasn't able to get us on the air. And I'm just thank God that we're here tonight. And thank God that Brother Hill, Nathan's okay, and his family's okay. And thank God for that. But we need to keep these people in prayer. And we want to welcome all our guests from around the world and all the way out to South Korea. And the hits, I've had a lot of hits on my personal email from all over. And I'm grateful for your input, and I'm grateful for your suggestions, and I'm grateful for your prayers. It means an awful lot to me. And I thank God for this listening audience. Well, tonight I thought we'd come back on the air with a little something. Instead of having a regular Bible study lesson, we'd step out of the ordinary because we like that old path preaching, that old Baptist preaching, and you know, not that stuff where you're going to get pat on the head and told, oh, well, you're wonderful people. Amen? I mean, we're going to hear what the Lord's got to say. I have a sermon tonight. It's a short sermon. It's not too long. It's called, Will Ye Also Go Away? It's a question. Will ye also go away? But it requires us to study our Bibles a little bit just to get a foundation, and that's a good thing. And I know you brought your Bibles, King James Version, authorized version of the Bible, the King James Bible. That's the only Bible. The others are imitations. And if you'll check with me, we're going to go into the book of John, the Gospel of John, written by John the Apostle, and we're going to go to chapter 6, and we're going to read about 19 verses tonight to start us off. We want to set a platform for this sermon. Well, I want you to think about some. I know God's got something special for you in this. So let's have a reading of the Word, and then we'll go into prayer. And amen. And we'll see what the Lord's going to do tonight. Something special. Touch somebody's heart. Amen. We're in a time of turmoil around the world, and my Christian brothers keep coming to me and saying, what do you think this means, and what do you think that means? And brother, it's all written already. You know what it means, and you know how it ends. Absent from the bodies, present with the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, John chapter 6, verse 50, we find the Lord speaking, and he was saying, we'll actually start at 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers, talking about the Jews, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give in my flesh is my flesh. Did you hear that? And the bread that I will give is my flesh, Jesus said, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Hallelujah. Verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And these things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. And many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? You know, who could understand it? In verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? He asked them, are you offended by what I'm saying? Does this offend you? Verse 62, what, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Amen? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now, these are the verses that I really want you to pay attention to. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he was speaking of Judas Iscariot. But if you look at those three verses, 66 to 69, from that time many of his disciples went back. They went back, and they walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Amen. The Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus. Let's have a prayer, and we'll get to the meat of this sermon. Holy Father, I bow down before you tonight, separated from this listening audience physically, but not spiritually. I thank you, Holy Father, for your Spirit. I ask you, God, that you would set my flesh aside and allow nothing and nothing at all to come from me, God, that is not of you, Lord. If there's anything in my life that's unconfessed, Father God, I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name, and that I could bring forth this message, Lord, touch the hearts of these listeners, open their spiritual eyes, open their spiritual ears, give them wisdom and a revelation of a knowledge of you, so we can glorify you. We lift up Jesus Christ, the Savior, King of Kings, tonight. In Jesus' name I pray these things, Holy Father. Amen. Now, we just read that text, and he was talking about eating him and drinking his blood. And I want you to know that he then tells them, it's not the flesh. It's a spiritual application. I mean, nobody took a bite of Jesus Christ. Church that thinks they have the power to turn bread into Christ and wine, their wine into his blood, are out of their mind. And anybody who would believe such a silly thing has not read their Bible. We don't eat Jesus Christ to get eternal life. I mean, how do you know when that priest is blessing that piece of bread, whether you're eating his toes or his fingers? Come on, cut it out. That's silliness. But let's get to this sermon. Jesus said to his disciples, will ye also go away? And you know, brethren, I hear and I read all too often about this mythological Christ, this mysterious Christ who is not the Christ of my Bible. This mythological Christ these false preachers are preaching about, who's going to unite the whole world by man's economical movement. And I can't find this Christ in my Bible. And if you have a King James Bible, you're not going to find it in yours either. The greatest cause of division in the world today is Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. The greatest cause of division in the world today is Jesus the Christ. Amen? And in our text tonight, we learn that some admitted none of his claims. For the scripture said in John 6:66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, most people don't have the heart to be Christians today. They couldn't stand and take the chastisement of the Lord through a preacher's sermon. They run out of the church. Oh, he's a fire and brimstone preacher. We're not going to have him talking down to us. Who does he think he is? Hey, listen, Why don't you get out of that spiritual? Why don't you read your Bible? And why don't you go back and look what Ezra did? Man, he took those people and ripped their beards off their faces for getting outside the law of God. Hey, man, you get mad at the preacher for preaching. Well, let me tell you, in this passage, we find out that others, they admitted a portion of what the Lord said in verse 652, but they denied the rest. Because 652 reads, "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Yeah, how is he going to give us his flesh to eat? "And a few became his sincere hearers, and they were going as far with them as they had yet learned of him." Amen? And that was a good thing. That was a good thing, because the scripture says in 668 and 69, then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. And that's who Jesus is. He is the Christ. And in the days Christ Jesus walked upon this earth, there were divisions of believers from non-believers. And brothers, there's a great division at this very present hour in our own world. In opinion alone. It doesn't matter what this Bible says. They have their opinion. You hear them. Well, that's your opinion. No, that's the word of God, amen? And you better get your opinion in line with God's word, or you're going to split hell wide open. Amen. These people don't want to hear the truth, so they'll go away. They'll go away. Oh, my brethren, there's a great division at this present time, not only in opinion, but in trust. Many rely on themselves. Only the godly rely on Jesus Christ, who say, Jesus said, "I am the vine. Ye are the branches, for without me, you can do nothing." N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing. These people, they'd rather rely on a lawyer. They'd rather rely on a family member. They'd rather rely on a neighbor. They'd rather rely on themselves. And you know what, my brethren? They're also going to go away. They have no root. And I tell you, my brethren, in this listening audience tonight and around the world, we are in a serious time. I tell you, there is a great division at this very moment in history, in all of human history. It is not new. There are truly only two divisions that matter in the days of Jesus Christ's ministry, and there are only two divisions that matter today: Bible believers and non-Bible believers. Did you hear that? There are only two divisions that matter today in this world: Bible believers and non-Bible believers. One will get you to heaven, and one will get you to hell. Amen. When you look around you, people with differing pleasures and aims, they prove that hearts go after different objects. The wonderful counselor Jesus of Nazareth said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What is your treasure, my friend, my brethren, young man, young lady? What is your treasure? Is your treasure to be found in the number of clothes you have in your closet? Automobiles? Is your treasure to be found in your music? TV? Video games? Is your treasure to be found in how many laps you can run around the neighborhood? What is your treasure? What is your treasure, my brethren? Is your treasure in your sex? Is your treasure in your muscles? Is your treasure in your drugs? Is your treasure in your alcohol? Where is your treasure? Because that is where your heart is. Amen? Amen. That is where your heart is. Jesus Christ said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." People who have the treasure in the wrong place, they will go away. They will go away. They will not endure sound doctrine. There's a great division at this present hour in destiny of those who believe in Jesus Christ and those who do not. The direction of the lines of life point at different places at the end of life's journey. And this difference sets apart for all eternity the closest of friends and relatives, husbands and wives, children and parents. This, my brethren, is the most real and deep difference in our world today. Then so I ask you, would you also go away? Because that is what Jesus Christ is asking you today. Will ye also go away? There's a great division at this present time. There is a dark cloud of barbarity and evil shadowing over and looms over the world. Never in modern times has God's creation rebelled so openly, so willfully shaking human fists in the face of God Almighty. And as I read the words penned by the Apostle John, spoken by Jesus Christ, will ye also go away? I want to go after them. I want to go after them. I want to ask them, where will you go? Where will you go, my friend? Where will you go? In Jesus Christ, nationalities have become one. Calvary heals. Jews and Gentiles are one in Jesus Christ. Saints of all styles of education are one in Jesus. The Lamb of God is in heaven. Will be many as the waves, but one is the sea. Amen. Bankers and criminals in Christ, they're even in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Get off your high horse, Christian. Stop walking around the Christian church like you're somebody. You're nobody. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you wouldn't even be in the church. And now you walk around the church and you think you're better dressed, and you think you're better intelligent, and you think you got a better sin background. And the worst sin somebody else is committing is the one you're not committing, right? Cut it out. Quit playing with God. My brethren, time is short. The rapture looms. The days and the shadows of the things written in Matthew 20, in the book of Matthew, of the second advent of Jesus Christ, those shadows are falling upon the world today. Can't you see the times and the seasons? And I know, you sure are glad in your heart. In your own heart, you've already answered Jesus' question. And probably over the past few months, maybe years or weeks or days, you began to feel pretty good about being, you know, one of those like Peter that had the right answer. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in John 6:61, some disciples murmured, and Jesus asked them, does this offend you? They were offended at Jesus Christ's word, and they went away. They went to church. They heard the preacher. They were offended at what he said, and they went away. Well, you went to church because you believe he's a man of God, and the man of God is bringing you the message of God, and you're going away. You think you're so different? Let me tell you something. Every time God's word tells you to do something and you don't do it, you have gone away. Will ye also go away? Will ye go away to the pleasures instead of study? Will you go away to rock and roll and rap music? Will you go to the church down the street with your itching ears because you think you're going to hear something that isn't so convicting? Will you go away to TV, to your sex and nudity, sports magazines, and newspaper ads with children and adults parading around in underwear? Will you go away to your beach valley wall with women running around naked? And you say, but Pastor, they have clothes on. Oh, my friend, you got bibliophobia. You're afraid to read the Bible. You just won't admit what the Bible says. You know what it says. The scripture says in Exodus 28:42, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. Uncovered loins are your nakedness. Hips and thighs uncovered are your nakedness. Isaiah 47, 2 through 3 says, take the millstones and grind mail. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. Hey, amen. Listen to what the Lord says. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Woo! Did you hear that? God does not like people displaying their nakedness to each other. If it's not your wife or your husband, you have no business looking at it. Your children don't need to be running around the house wearing unisex clothes. Get them earrings out of those fairies' ears. Stop dressing your children like women. Stop dressing your women like men. My goodness, don't you know, parents, you're going to answer for how you raised those, how you trained up those children to God? My goodness, what are you teaching them? Hips and thighs, the Bible says, that is your nakedness. Did you hear how strong God feels about showing and seeing other people's nakedness? And it doesn't matter if they're brother and sister. It doesn't matter if they're uncle and aunt. It doesn't matter if they're father and son. Listen, it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what the Bible says. Cut it out. God feels so strongly about this nudity thing that God said, and I will not meet thee as a man. Woo! You better look out. You've been having your children bathe each other and all that nonsense going on, sleeping in the boys' and the girls' room and the girls' in the boys' room, changing in front of each other. Hey, listen, you better cut it out. Got your children swimming in pools and bikinis in front of hips and thighs. The Lord said, that's nakedness. You rebel against it. That doesn't matter. You answer for it, not Peter. I'm just telling you, don't get mad at me. I'm just a pizza delivery boy. You eat that pizza any way you want. You want to put a little salt on it, a little pepper, that's fine. You want to throw the crust out, go ahead. That's what you do with the Bible anyway. You read what you want to hear, and the rest you throw out. Well, I don't think it should apply. Hey, it doesn't matter what you think. The Lord said, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Not thus saith you. To obey is better than sacrifice, the Bible says. And so, my brethren, God is asking you tonight, will ye also go away? And you say, but Dr. Ventura, Pastor, I haven't gone away from Jesus. Well, then why don't you assemble with the church? The Apostle Paul said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some people were forsaking the assembly of the church. They had other things to do. They had other places to go. Oh, listen, baby was sick. The rest of us are going to stay home. My goodness. You think God's going to buy those excuses? You don't send your children to church. You don't even go yourself. Listen, this church meets here in Imperial Beach on Monday night, ladies' class, Wednesday night Bible study, Sunday evening, general services. And you know what? That's where the people want to be. That's where I want to be. I want to be where the Word of God is. And if you truly love the Lord, that's where you want to be. You don't understand what a man of God is because you've got so far away from your Bible. When a prophet came to a town, the people knew it was a man of God. Not everybody liked him. But they knew he was a man of God, and they respected that. And your preacher and your pastor, he is God's man. He is not your man. And quit treating him like he's your man, deacon board. Deacon board. No such thing in the Bible. Deacons running the church. Lord have mercy. You say, wait a minute, pastor. Wait a minute. Just because I don't always go to church doesn't mean I went away from Christ. Yeah? Well, if you're a member of a church and you're not there, my friend, you went away because the church is the body of Christ and you have a part in that church. And if a piece of the body's missing, you're causing the church to miss something. If the church meeting and you're not there, you went away, all right? You went away. Scripture says in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If two or three are gathering in the church and you're a member and you're not there, my brethren, you went away. So I ask you tonight, will ye also go away? That's what Jesus Christ is asking every disciple, every saved person in the world today. Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? Will you go back to your old man? I don't mean your husband. This ain't the 60s. Will you go back to that old flesh? Will you go back to your filthy mouth? Will you go back to your pornography, your gambling, your horoscopes? Will you go back to your rock and roll music, your country western music, your homosexuality? It's not an altered lifestyle. It's an abomination to God. Lord, have mercy. Leviticus 18:23 clearly says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. It is done. The Bible does not say it is an alternate lifestyle. It is an abomination in the eyes of God. Will ye also go away? Jesus is asking you today, will you also go away? When you're walking with Jesus, you're supposed to be witnessing for Jesus. Jesus Christ said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. My friends, the community you live in is your Jerusalem, and you are to first go to your community. How come your neighbors don't know you're saved? They ought to know by the way you go to church. They ought to know when they see you dressed up for church. They ought to know when they see that Bible under your hand, you're heading out the door. They ought to know by the way you speak. Because when they're talking to you and they're unsaved, they're using foul language, but you're not. They ought to know because you told them about Jesus Christ. What are you going to say when you get to heaven and we're at the white throne judgment and your neighbor's standing there and he says to you, how could you let me go to hell? We barbecued together. We hung out together. We talked together. You never told me about Jesus. What are you going to tell Jesus, my friend? Noah, Paul said, my hands are free of all men's blood. Some of us have blood on our hands. Have you gone out to your Jerusalem? And then from your community, you to go out. Are you kidding me? Some of you don't even go out and tell the people that run the store that you're shopping every day, let alone the world, because you've gone away. You just don't realize it yet. My friends, when you walk with Jesus Christ, you pay God your tithes. Now listen, I'm not foolish enough to tell you that there's a New Testament tithe, but Paul said, as the Lord prospers you, set it aside for the purpose of the church. God says, when you walk with Jesus Christ, listen, Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. And ye say, wherein have I robbed thee? Hey God, they said, where did we rob you? And he said, in tithes and offering. You go to a restaurant and pay 15% for a tip and come to church and give 10%. Isn't that a shame? You're trying to tip God, not tithe. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Well, I only got 20 and I'll put 2 in. Come on, cut it out. What's the purpose of giving to the Lord? For the furtherance of the gospel. I'm tired of hearing people say, well, pastor is got a car and nice car and you know, why do we got to give our money? We got holes in our pay. Hey, listen, maybe if you gave your money, God would bless you. Quit robbing God. Jesus Christ wants to know, will you also go away? You know, when a Christian entertains evil thoughts or enjoys thoughts, meditates on his past sins, you've gone away. Paul said a Christian is to be casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought through the obedience of Christ. Amen. Sometimes you and I have gone away and we don't even realize it. Like up whose mooring has come loose, and suddenly the boat has drifted away. Slow. Too slow and even to even be noticed until it's too late. You know, one time I was swimming in the Atlantic Ocean in New Jersey, down by Wildwood, when I was a young man, and I was in that water, and I was swimming, and I was swimming and having a good time, and I looked up, and I didn't realize where I was, because the current along the coast was pulling me down the coast. I didn't know that. I thought I was still swimming in the same place I went out. But I was almost a quarter mile down the beach. And that's what's happened to some of you. You got away from Christ, and you don't even realize it. It's just like Solomon said, take us the foxes, the little foxes, spoil the vines. You're looking for the big sins. But oh, my brethren, your little sins will take you just as far. While we're watching those big sins, it's a whole bunch of little ones, the little foxes that did the damage. You have to deal with it. The so-called little sins. The truth is, there's no such thing as little sins. Sin is sin. And James said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Jesus wants to know, my brethren, tonight, will ye also go away? Are you going to go away, or have you already gone away? You know, husbands and wives, you're married to a Christian woman. You're married to a child of God. You disrespect that woman or that man, you're disrespecting God's child. That's a shame. How dare you talk to your wife in that manner, talk to your husband in that manner? You're to honor and love them as Christ gave himself for the church. He died for the church. He gave his all for the church. And that's what the Bible says husbands are to do with their wives. Cherish, to communicate, not to be called names, not to be held at emotional ransom. And you do it with your children. Oh, you wait till your father gets home. Hey, that's emotional blackmail. Mom, if you can't deal with that child, then don't threaten them. You're at home. You know the child better than anybody. Why, you knew how to communicate with that child before that child could speak. You knew it. And you understand the child. And you let your children do things that they shouldn't. And that's your ministry. You answer to that along with your husband. Life has serious consequences. And there are things going on in the world today. Parents, are you listening? Children have access to more knowledge than you and I had. And if you're 50, 60 years old, the knowledge that you learned your whole life, children have access to in the flick of a switch. You allow your children to have these games and social sites. You don't monitor them. You don't look at them. You don't know what's going on in your child's life. And then a tragedy occurs. And you know whose fault it is, parent? Yours. Because you didn't monitor. Children need to have rules set. Children want to have rules set. They must have boundaries. They must be taught that in life there are consequences for decisions that children make. And if they make the proper choices, then they have good consequences. But we're in a wicked world. And sometimes even when you do good, you get bad. That's just life. And we need to teach our children that. And we're desensitizing our children. We allow them to play games all day long where they're killing people and they're smashing their heads and they're watching these bloody movies, saws, and all that stuff, and we're allowing them to do that. We're desensitizing our children to the value of life. Did you hear me, parent? That's your job. The Bible says you're to honor and obey your parents, that your life may be long upon the earth. That's the first commandment with a promise, that your life may be long upon the earth. If you live a disrespectful life towards your parents, you may not have a long life. When your mother and father tell you to do something, it's not a discussion. It's not a suggestion. You say, yes, ma'am, and do it. Yes, sir, do it. That's it. There isn't any question. No parent should have to tell their children more than once to do something. Children need to obey. Your mother and father, they love you. They changed your diapers. And now that you're 15 and 16 years old, 13 years old, you think your friends are smarter than your parents, and you start listening to them. But when did your parents become your enemy? They loved you since you were unable to take care of yourself. Shouldn't you love them? Children, shouldn't you be waiting for mom and dad to get home? Shouldn't you be at the door reverencing your father for the hard work that he put in all day, that now you have a roof over your head, food on your table? Because, children, there's a lot of parents that don't do that. There's children that sleep on floors, don't have mattresses, because their parents are out abusing drugs or selling drugs or hooked on alcohol and running around and doing things that they shouldn't be doing in life, or just plain lazy. And if you have a parent that works, you should cherish that parent. That's a wonderful thing that they want to bless you. That's why they go to work. They don't have to. Hey, you could eat a bowl of cereal three times a day, as long as it meets the standards of the calories and nutrition that's selected by the government. Nobody will complain. And you have parents who love you. You're to honor them, obey them, respect them, open the door for your mother, help your mother, clean your room up, pick your toys up. Teenagers, you're to help the younger children to learn, to see how they learn from you when they see how you respect your parents and you reverence them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the world is in turmoil all around us. All around us. This is nothing new. The world's been on its way down from the beginning. America abandoned the King James Bible in 1901 and went to these modernistic Bibles. They abandoned the Word of God and supplemented it. And America has been on the way down ever since. And America didn't learn by looking at England, because England did the same thing and it went straight down the tubes. It was known as the nation where the sun never set. The British Empire was. And look at it today. It's a British Isle. Why? They abandoned the Word of God. In America, you've abandoned the Word of God. And you cannot succeed without God. And I am sure, when you look at the history of most governments and most nations in the world, a nation that's lasted 300 years is a long time for a nation. And God's been blessing this nation for a long time. But you've turned your back on God. You've allowed abortion, the killing of millions of babies. You've called what's wrong that's legislated as right. You're allowing gay marriage, man with man, woman with woman. All these things God frowns upon. Oh, well, God's the God of love. Well, my friends, you better go read where he says when he comes back at that second advent, he will have no mercy. He will tread you underfoot and sprinkle your blood upon his garments. That's the God of love. He must. God must judge sin because God is just. And every unsaved man, you are standing at the door of hell right now. God has a million ways to take somebody out of this earth. And God did not create this earth for you, sinner, to go out and act your little acts out on the earth. Your sinful evil. It is not what God created this earth for. And you, Christian, that think that God owes you something and that you're in control of something, you're not in control of everything. You're not in control of something. You're not in control of anything. You only think you are. I told my church the other night, I said, church, I want you to know something. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, you too have gardens. And most of my parishioners have a little garden. They have plants growing. Well, why did you put that plant in your yard? Well, I put the plant in my yard because I wanted to beautify my house. I wanted to beautify my garden. Well, amen. Hey, listen, the plant doesn't control you. You feed the plant. The plant doesn't water you. You water the plant. God planted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God planted mankind for his glory, praise, and honor. You're not in control of that thing. You're in God's garden, plant. You hear me, Christian plant? Wake up. Anything you have, God's blessed you with. And so I ask you tonight, will ye also go away? Are you offended by what Jesus said? Because the Bible said, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Quit waiting for your friends to accept Christ with you. If you're backslidden, I encourage you to get on your knees and to pray and say, God, I've got away from you. I'm not even sure how it happened. I got away from you, God. And I need to get right. I need to clean my heart. I need to clean my soul. I need to clean my conscience, God. Just forgive me, God. Forgive me my sins and for getting away from you. And God will forgive you. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I'm talking to brethren who are saved. You've gotten away from God. You forgot what it means to stand up for God and what you believe. Some of you don't even know what you believe. You need to know. And the only way you're going to know is by studying that Word of God and reading it daily and getting in prayer and fasting and asking God to reveal himself to you. Get in a sound doctrine, Bible-believing, King James-only church. Quit fooling around with churches that are using these other Bibles. I met a man the other day who told me that he's going to another church from the church he was at. The church he was at was a sound doctrine church. He says, but I like that guy. And I said, well, his doctrine ain't right. And he said, yeah, but sometimes I go there, sometimes I go here. My brethren, you can't drink a little poison and not get sick. If you're in an unsound church for any reason, there's poison in there. Ichabod's in there. There's poison in the soup. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. The hour is dawning upon us, Christian. The rapture is coming faster than ever. The Red Army is over there in Syria. The world is disarrayed. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Nobody. Not America, not China, not Russia. Nobody except Israel. I want you to know something. We Christians better wake up. Because we're going to be up before that judgment seat of Christ a lot quicker than you and I think. You keep putting off the thought. You better live like Jesus Christ is coming today. And if he doesn't, you're no worse off. He may come tomorrow. You ought to live tomorrow like he's coming tomorrow. Now I want to talk to those of you who are out there who are listening and tell me, we enjoy your program, Dr. Ventura. You say a lot of good things. Well, I want you to know, if there's any good came from me, it came from Jesus. And I know there's unsaved people out there listening. And I want you to know, today is the day of salvation. You can't wait till tomorrow to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. America has become the land of sudden death. Imagine that airplane pilot that was just flying a plane and died. Thank God the co-pilot didn't step out to use the bathroom. and the cockpit door was locked. He wouldn't have got back in. The pilot couldn't open the door, and everybody on that plane would have died. There isn't a person that went into those towers at 9/11 and didn't believe they were coming home. In Mount Southington, Connecticut, in the United States of America a few years ago, people were all sitting at a stoplight when it came down that mountainside, down that road, with bad brakes, and ran over all the cars and killed a whole lot of people. There wasn't one person that was sitting there who didn't think they were going home that day. They were so caught up in the routine of life, they forgot that death is imminent to all of us. I don't know. Hey, some men fall off a 30-foot ladder and live, and some men fall off a 2-foot ladder and break their neck. But you can't stop your death any more than you can stop the sun from rising by choking a rooster. And my friend, Jesus Christ came. The Bible says he loved you before you knew him. And Jesus Christ went to that cross. He shed his precious blood. He was innocent as a baby. He never committed a sin in his life. Not a bad thought, not a bad deed, not a bad action. He had to pay for our sins in that manner. And he chose to do it. He said, "No man take my life from me." Gave his life freely. And on the cross he said, "I give up the ghost. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. He died. No man took it from him. He was the God-man. He could have stayed on that cross forever. He chose to give his life for the sinner. And brethren, God needs you to know that he has a better way than the way you're living your life. You don't have to go through life alone. Jesus Christ is a friend. Christ is the Lord. He is the Savior. And if you've been denying that in your heart, or you've been putting it off, you need to tell the Lord. You need to pray and say, "Father God, sincerely in my heart, I repent. I am sorry for my sins. I turn from those sins. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross of Calvary, and he died, and that he was buried, and on the third day he rose. And I accept and receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and put my faith in that belief in Jesus." In Jesus' name. And brethren, if you prayed that prayer and you were an unsaved person, I want you to know the Bible says that you are saved. Whosoever shall upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and have received Jesus Christ, congratulations. The Bible says in Luke there's joy and happiness and celebrating in heaven over one sinner who repents. Amen. Hallelujah. There's joy in heaven tonight that you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you've been saved, if you received Jesus Christ tonight, at the end of this program, I'm going to give you a little information, how you can contact me, and I'll send you some information that'll help you along in your Christian walk. And I'll talk to you. I'll give you information at the end. Now, my backslidden brothers, those of you who have gotten away from Jesus Christ, just bow your heads with me now, if you would, and pray, "Holy Father, I did go away. I have backslid. I don't know how I got there. Well, maybe I do know how I got there. But mighty God, God Almighty, I repent of my past sin. I re-backslide. I rededicate my life to the service of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior who died for me. I start fresh and new right now, Lord. And I'm going to serve you, Father God, with all my heart and all my soul and all my being, Lord, because you died for me. And I'm going to be the best plant in your garden, Lord. So water me so I can grow. I repent. In Jesus' name, amen." And brethren, if you prayed that prayer and you're saved and you mean it from your heart, then God God receives that. He accepts it. Don't let the devil try and tell you, oh, you're too bad to turn if you haven't repented. And if you have repented, don't let the devil say you were too bad and God didn't receive it. The Lord said if you confess your sin, he's just and faithful. He will, and he has forgiven if you prayed that prayer. I want to thank you for tuning in, sir. I want to thank you. But I want you to ask yourselves, for those of you who are undecided, will you also go away? That's what Jesus is asking you tonight. Bobby, Billy, Joe, Lou, Ron, Susie, Kathy, Daryl, Sarah, Delva, Cheryl, Tina, George. God's asking you all, will you also go away? Those of you who got saved tonight and gave your life to Jesus Christ, you can reach me at my personal email, which is ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter77@gmail.com. Or you can phone me for personal prayer at 203. That's area code 203-240-0377. Area code 203-240-0377. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to hear what the Lord's been doing in your life. And I thank you. And I'd ask you to continue praying for Rhonda and her Jewish friend who needs Christ Jesus desperately. To pray for Dottie, Kitty Fred, Louis Kermit. These are names of people who have asked for prayer. They need prayer. There are sick people in churches today that need prayer. Pray for those in authority over us, the Bible says, that we could live in peace. Amen. I want to thank all of my listeners, those who encourage me. I want to thank personally my wife, Marilyn, who always makes sure that I'm prepared for the program, I'm on time, who stands by me, who said to me the other day, if God called you to China, I'd be packing tomorrow. Amen? Listen, it's wonderful to be blessed with a wife, Christian woman, and husbands, respect your wives. They deserve it. And wives, respect your husband. And remember, the Holy Spirit's in them. Don't grieve your husband. Don't grieve your wife. Don't overcorrect your children and provoke them to anger. But don't fail to put discipline down. I thank you all for listening. I thank Nason, DL. And if you'll all bow your heads with me right now, we'll pray out of here. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, who shed his precious blood, Lord, we thank you, God, for that wonderful sacrifice on Calvary. We thank you for making us just, Lord, in your eyes. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for this message, Lord. We thank you for this listening audience. And we ask you, God, to bless us until we come together, Lord willing, next Thursday night, and to hear the message and to be blessed. And we thank you, God, for all the wonderful things here that you've done for us. And we praise you in Jesus' name. And I would ask for my listening audience to pray that the Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach would locate a building and be able to finance that. We don't ask for money on this program. We just bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ. God supplies all our needs, and we're asking for that prayer. And I thank you. Thank you, Nathan. The Lord bless you. It's in your corner.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. your love.